did not leave the Bible to us, did not bring the Bible and the Word of God into their house, and teach us daily, teach us every day, and say scriptures in our heart, and write them on the doorpost, and write them on the fence post, and have things on the tables everywhere. We didn't have those things on our clothes. And this is the way the children of Israel were done. They had scripture. They knew what God said, and they knew what God had said. And they knew where God was at that time. There was a temple, because the Holy Spirit had not come down to men except on a few prophets. We have the Holy Spirit. We have a teacher. We have a guide. We have somebody that will take us and go take us through the Bible and give us a hunger for the Word we don't have and teach us things that we don't know. We have this in this time because the Holy Ghost came back after Christ left. Christ said, I'll send you the Holy Spirit. And He'll tell you everything that's going on in heaven. How many have heard this week what's going on in heaven? And I submit to you right now that we're living in such a time that people have gotten their feet wet with salvation, but they haven't reached down into the waters, the living water of God, and they've not drank of it. We have not drank of the Holy Spirit. We have not drank of that living water that God gave us. And for that reason, we don't have faith. And for that reason, we don't have fear. My biggest fear right now is that I'll do something, and that feeling that the Holy Spirit is in me and of me will depart from me. And that's a living fear because I have gone and done things in the past, and I knew they weren't right when I did them. And it felt like to me that God was away from me, that He departed from me, that He was no longer on me. Do you sense God on you this morning? Do you know that the Holy Spirit is here to fill you up, to give life to you and to live through you? How long has it been since you prayed and you cried? Did you pray because, not because you were sad, not because you were disturbed, but because God's presence came down on you? That happened to me this week. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit. I knew it was God. And I know there's power in prayer. But I also know there's power in the living Word of God, the living Bible. And we've got to get a hold of God's Word because we see what happened to Israel when they let God go. That's what we're studying this morning, because Eli's family was unsaved. It says in Samuel 2, after Hannah came and she prayed for her son, God gave her a son, and she gave him back to God. She gave him to the temple. And Eli raised up Samuel in the temple. And he did a better job with Samuel than he did with Hophni and Phinehas. Now Samuel was probably 5 or 6 years old by this point in Samuel 2. Now the sons of Eli were the sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. That means that the priests in the temple, the priests that came and they served the Jews, they would go to the Jewish houses and help them with their sacrifices. The priest was supposed to go to the Jews, and the Jews were supposed to have the flesh boiling in a pot. And they had a hook, a three-hooked tool, that they would reach into the pot and they would grab it. Whatever they grabbed up was theirs. And one swipe. But Hophni and Phinehas decided they liked red bloody meat. They didn't want the fats cut off of them. The fats was for God. There was a certain preparation for the sacrifice that the Jews gave after the priest slaughtered them. After the priest had dedicated that animal to God, after he decided there was no blemishes in it, and it was the first year of that animal's life, then the Jews would take the meats back. And then the priest would come to the Jewish house, and they would take their tool, their implement, and they would reach into the pot and they would grab the meat. But Hophni and Phinehas decided, these are brothers. We don't like it boiled. We don't like it stewed. We don't like pot roast. We want steak. And we want the fat on, because the fat was cut off and given to God. That was part of the offering. And it was burnt in the altars. But Hophni and Phinehas came and they said they wanted the meat. They didn't want it sodden. They didn't want it boiled. They wanted it just like it was. And it goes on and says that Hophni and Phinehas would come, and if the person didn't want to give it to them like they wanted it, then they would take it by force. How would you like me to come to your house and say, gosh, I need $5 this week for lunch tomorrow. Give it to me. Well, I don't have it. I'm sorry. I'm going to get it, and I go dig it through your purse. You wouldn't like it too much, would you? Hophni and Phinehas both did this so much that finally Israel hated sacrifice. In Shiloh, which is one of the major cities of sacrifice, this is before Jerusalem had a temple. This is before they had a king. And at this point, right at this point, they had no judge. God got on to Eli about it. It says that Eli heard about the sons that were also lying with women in the doorway of the church. Now these boys were married. They had wives. Okay? But when the ladies would come to the temple, they just pull them out. That was the kind of sin that was going on. Now we see certain things like that going on in our church today, don't we? We hear from time to time about preachers that goes off with one of the members of the church. Abscond with some of the funds, maybe. Ministers having affairs with their secretaries. This goes on in our churches today. And God's not pleased with it. We've seen televangelists get up and cry before God and before the audience because he's been found out. Not because he's confessing his sin, but because he's been found out of his sin. And then in just a couple years, they come back like nothing happened. And renew their ministry, start their ministry. That's the kind of things that's gone on in the last 40 years in this country. And not just once, but over and over and over and over. Because we live in a time when there is no Holy Spirit dealt directly to individuals, people will not get into the Holy Spirit. They will not get into the Word. They will not learn what God has to say for their life. They will not learn the will of God in their life, and they have no fear of what's going to happen. No fear of any kind of judgment that comes from God for what they're doing. Congressmen, senators, presidents have done this in my lifetime more than once. And from time to time, it's become such a commonplace thing now we don't even think about it anymore. 2 years ago, we had a governor that went off with a woman, and his wife left him and everything, but it was no big deal. We've accepted so much sin in this country that we don't even know what sin is, and we have no fear of God. But Eli heard about his sons, and he spoke to them about it. He says, you don't know, but it says his sons did not fear God. Samuel 22-25 says, now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto Israel, and how they lay with the women, and they assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of you your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it's not good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. You cause the people to sin. These big preachers that we see on television that have done wrong things have actually caused other people to sin. How can you do that? Because if we're the line that people look at as being godly and straight, and our line is not straight, then they're going to think whatever they're doing is not so bad. They're going to think it's all right. Remember, Paul said there's nothing unclean to you. And he says, but God forbid, it doesn't mean that you can go out and do anything you want. Just because Jesus has saved you, because God has taken your sin away and promised you heaven, doesn't mean that you can go out and do anything you want now. God forbid that happen. And yet that's exactly what's happening in our society. And if there's something that's too hard for us, too long, then there's going to be a minister that's going to raise up and he'll say, oh, it's okay. We just had the 6-state okay gay marriages. Because so much pressure has been put on the church by sin that they have bowed down to sin. We've got churches that have changed and left of one denomination to become another because they allow homosexuals in the pulpit. And there's not been a great shout among the Christians going up saying, no, we can't do this. In the states that have elected to allow homosexuals in, there's a lie that's gone out while they were born that way. And that's just one of the sins. Liquor by the drink and alcoholic sales in High Point for years and years and years were barred. People would go out to we should allow our people to drink if they want to in our city. And they went out and voted for it. And now liquor is allowed to be sold in High Point. I don't see the schools getting any money from it. It's just like the lotteries. They said, oh, well, if we bring in the lottery, God knows you can throw your money away on the lottery, and there's a chance that somebody's going to win money, but they're going to get state taxes for the schools. Jennifer, how much money have you seen in the school systems for that?
Well, we were supposed to get a bonus 3 years ago, and we haven't gotten it yet.
It's just non-existent. That money's not there. Government grows and people get smaller. But it's not because of government. It's because of sin in our nation. God told Eli, he says, that you're going to be cursed. He says, because I'm going to cut off your family. He says, both of your sons are going to die in one day. And he says, they're the last sons. And he says, there'll be no other priest in your family. He says, you're the last priest. Because I'm angry, this is my judgment. Verse 34, let me get the first part over there. And this shall be a sign unto thee, that thou shalt come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest, that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house. Do you want a sure house? The name of this message is Carrying God. If you want a sure house, fill it with God's word. If you want a sure house, live like Christ expects you to live. If you want a sure house, take God's word out. Don't let it stagnate inside of you. And God will build you a sure house. And it says, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. Chapter 4 now, starting in verse 3. And when the people were coming to the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Because they were at war still with the Philistines. You remember later on down, just a few years from now, Goliath comes up in the camp of the Philistines. The Philistines have been a perpetual enemy for Israel ever since they moved into the Promised Land, because they didn't destroy him out completely when they came in. But Israel goes up against the Philistines and loses 4,000 men, and then call for the Ark of God. Now the Ark of God at this time is in Shiloh, because as I said, Jerusalem doesn't exist yet. They haven't built a temple there, and God's temple has not been built. And they call and they get this Ark. And I remember when I was small, there was a big Pentecostal movement that came into the world. Now I'm comparing the Ark of God, the promises of God, the communication, the connection with God is the Ark for Israel, no? Is that not true? The Ark was the place that when it was said to the temple that the God's men could go in, the priests could go in, he could speak to God and he could come back down and he could give the word of God to Israel. What God said, go up against him, don't go up against him, go this way or go that way. The Ark was leadership. The Ark was respect. The Ark was that promise, that covenant between God and men. And I submit to you today that the Holy Spirit is a promise that we have. It's that Ark, that connection between us and Jesus Christ. That connection between us and God. We've accepted, we said we believed in our hearts, and we accepted this Jesus Christ. And there was a promise made to us that we would receive the Holy Spirit. And yet, that living water that Christ said would flow up through us, that would tell us all things that were going on, is not living and operating and doing its job in the Christian church in 2011. Is that because the Holy Ghost has lost his power? Was that just for those 120 that was in the upper chamber in Acts chapter 2? Was that just for the 19 1906 church on Azusa Street where a man stuck his head in an orange crate and says, God, I'm not going to stop praying until you fill me with your spirit. Until you let me know your promise. Until you promise me. Until you make a covenant with me. God wants to make a covenant with every single one of us. Because God will not go out without us. God wants us to be carried by Him. But in the return, we have to carry God out. So we're in fact in charge of carrying God even though He's carrying us. We cannot go out into the streets and witness Jesus Christ unless the Holy Spirit goes before us and behind us. And within us, because that witness is not heard. Paul tells us that the world is blinded. I mean, the people are blinded by the world. That they can't see God because of the world. I've been watching a star, which is the planet Venus, every morning. And you know, there's only a certain time given to when that star rises and the light comes up so strong that you can't see it anymore. And we're living in those few moments. Those last few moments of darkness before Jesus Christ comes back. God is light. And He made light over the entire earth, didn't He? He gave us the sun for the daytime and the moon and the stars for night. But I tell you that each one of you is a star. And that if you have Jesus Christ in you, you have that light in you. And if you don't rise, and if you don't stay in your orbit, and if you don't do those things you're supposed to do, suddenly you do not reflect God. Because the planets that we see as stars, which are the brightest, and the moon, they only reflect the sun, don't they? They don't have any light of their own. They reflect the sun that's on the other side of the earth that we can't see. But we're living in a time right now which is darkness just before daylight. And I've watched this star and I've tracked this course across the heavens because Venus circles the sun faster than we do. So every day it's getting closer and closer and closer to the sun. And its time of brightness is less and less and less and less. And I'm telling you that your time of being a light to people in darkness is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And there's less and less and less and less time for us to reach people. If our only purpose is to build a church, we don't have time. If our only purpose is to bring people in so that we can have as many people as we can have, we don't have time. The only thing that we can do with God is spread what light we have as quickly as possible and get a hold of people and let them know there's a Jesus Christ, that He's real, that He exists, that He's coming back, and that if we don't get our lives straightened out, whether we claim to be Christian or we claim not to be Christian, there's a judgment that awaits. And if we don't get enough fear of God inside of ourselves to reflect His light, what is our judgment going to be? You remember when Christ told the scribes, He says, your judgment is going to be more terrible than for Sodom and Gomorrah. Because they didn't have all the works of Christ. They didn't know who I was, and yet I'm here now. And you see me, and you see the works, and you don't accept it. How much greater is the judgment going to be on us if we do not become fruitful in our lives, and we don't live for Jesus Christ, and we don't know that we have salvation because we're not connected through the Holy Spirit to God in Christ? If we don't get up and get ready and get out of the battle and get out of the fight, God's not going to send us any more laborers. It tells us in the Bible to pray for laborers because the day of the harvest is at hand. And we're setting up in this time right now. In this last little bit before the sun gets too close to the star, that we can't see the star at all because there's no eyes in Jesus. When Jesus comes back, they're not going to see us, they're going to see Jesus. God says we'll rule and reign with Him, but yet we're going to rule and reign like Jesus says, aren't we? But our time to shine is right there at the end. And if we don't shine for God now, then we're going to be dismissed out of heaven. We're not a part of Him. We're not doing what He told us to do. Christ says, you're my friends if you do my will. because that we have lost our fear. We don't believe. Oh, we believe all right. We believe that if we go to church every Sunday, we're going to go to heaven. We believe that people need to go to doctors because God just doesn't do that so much anymore. We believe faith is real, but we don't believe that we have enough inside of us to be able to become full of faith. We believe that good people that go out and do things are good, but we don't have time. We believe that our tithes come after we have enough left over. We believe that those things that we're supposed to kick out of our lives, eventually we might kick them out. But if we don't, God's going to save us anyway. How can Venus believe that everything was fine? That they had power over God? But as we read on, we find out it's not so, because they brought in the ark. In chapter 4, they brought the ark back to Israel. Or out of Shiloh, rather, out into the battle. And they brought the ark out, but all of a sudden, the Philistines began to quake. They said, oh my God, this is the same ark that they brought in, and the Egyptians were destroyed. This is the same ark that was in the wilderness all those years, and it led those people by a column of smoke and fire. We fear this thing, and then their captain's God and says, do you want to be slaves of the Israelites? Stand up and fight. And they stood up and fought. That's exactly what the scripture just said. And they stood up and they fought. And when they fought them, the Israelites failed. 30,000 men were killed in one afternoon. And not only 30,000 men, but Hophni and Phinehas both were destroyed. They were killed. And then the ark was taken by the Philistines. And they went to carry God. Now, who is carrying God today? If we were to stay at home this morning and turn on the television, who's carrying God? And I won't call out preachers' names because I don't know what God is doing. But I've seen ministers who get up and says, oh, God's going to make you profitable. God is going to bless you because you're a Christian. God is going to give you everything you want. God's going to give you every desire of your heart. God is going to make you an overcomer simply because you believe. But you don't see too many getting up preaching. God is going to destroy you if you don't get a hold of this thing. God is going to judge you harder if you don't get a hold of Christ. You know who Jesus Christ is. If you don't start performing like He expects you, then there's a judgment for you. That's what we've been taught for the last 30, 40 years. That old hellfire and brimstone and us hanging on a thread over hell itself has been lost in our sermons. People don't want to hear that. It says the end time, they'll come with itching ears and they'll call teachers unto themselves. They're going to call people that's going to preach what they want to hear, just like Hophni and Phinehas did. But their day's coming. Their destruction on the church has already happened. The reason the ark was stolen out of Israel and defeated in a battle was because Hophni and Phinehas had caused the people to sin by hating the sacrifice, by hating the church. And how many people do you talk to now on the street and say, oh, well, you know, church is nothing but a business. All they talk about is money. All they want to do is build. All they want to do is this. I'm so sick and tired of seeing new buildings come up that are empty inside. They're like sepulchers that Christ talked about. Hollow and empty inside. Not having the Spirit of God is why we needed to get a hold of the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, fill us up. Fill us up. Fill us up. Father, make us motors that go out and cannot stop, Lord, because your Spirit is so fired and strong inside of us. Make us something, Lord, that we've longed to be for years and years and years, but we're willing to pay the price. And what is the price? That price is to get a hold of God. We say, oh, I want to get a hold of God. How many people have told me, oh, I want to learn Spanish? Or, oh, I want to learn how to write computer language. Oh, I want to learn how to do this. Oh, I want to learn how to do that. But they're not willing to pay the price. Christ doesn't demand much. He just requires us. too much to give. Even though we already owe the price of an eternal damnation, eternal hell away from God, if nothing more than being separated, God is not hell, I don't know what is. But yet we will not find that time. God gave the Israelites manna. This is going into my next week's sermon a little bit. Manna is a word that means stuff. In fact, if you look back at Exodus, when God gave manna to the Israelites, he told them, he says, now you have to pick it up every single day except for Sunday. He says that we're the Sabbath day. And our Sabbath day is different than the old Jewish Sabbath day. But he says you have to pick it up every single day except on Saturday. Saturday you pick up twice as much as you're going to need for Sunday or for the holy day. Because if you keep more than enough for that one day, it's going to rot and you'll have worms in it the next morning. If you get up one day and you read the Bible and you get a hold of God and God starts speaking to you, but yet the next day you think you got enough yesterday, let me tell you what you got yesterday rots inside of you. I've asked you to start learning how to give testimonies. I've asked you to learn how to stand up before people. I've asked you to go out in the streets with me. But that's because that we've got to start living every single day and not one day at a time, but every single day together, so that when we come together on Sunday, we have a rejoicing. We have something to say, Lord, praise you. And we have enough from what we've done in the week to sit down and just say, Lord, thank you so much for what you've done. And get us ready to get up and go instead of coming here on Sunday morning to being so tired. Oh, you just don't know what's happened this week. I've had this happen. I've had that happen. Because we haven't been a hold of God. Because we haven't got a hold of what God said we're supposed to do. Because we live in a place that tells us it's all right to be like we are. And that we're not supposed to excel. We're not supposed to achieve. We're not supposed to be what God said we can be. And who says that God said it anyway? Because we've never gotten close enough to God to hear what he had to say. But let me tell you, I've been in the presence of the Lord this week. And this is only the first part, because there's more. But my time is up. Let's all stand. As Phineas's wife lay giving birth to a child, her husband died in the battle with the Philistines. And his news came back that her husband had died and the ark was taken. Her son was born and she was dying. She most likely bled to death. But as the nurses came to give her a baby, she turned away. And she named the baby Ichabod, which means God has departed. And if there's every nation that Ichabod has been written over, it's this nation right here. Because we were once the wealthiest nation in the world, and now we're more in debt than we can pay in 1,000 years. There's no way that we can pay the debt that we have right now from our own enemies. God has written Ichabod over this nation. But let me tell you, but God, if you'll humble yourselves down, and you'll listen to my word, God says, I'll return to you. That's next week's message. Let's bow our head. Now, Father, I've delivered your message. Lord, I've delivered my heart to them. Now, Father, your message is real and true. But, Lord, I'm just a messenger. And sometimes, Father, I don't get all the words right. Sometimes I don't speak exactly right. But Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit this morning will come down and bring a new fascination in each Christian and a new desire and a new need inside, Lord, to get a hold of you in a better, stronger way that you want us to get a hold of you so that we can determine your will in our life. And Father, I'm going to ask your blessing, which is out of your own word, on these people again today. And I pray, Father, that this week you'll start working with them as you started working with me. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing, and you're not accomplished, you're not finished. But I thank you for what you started in my life. I thank you for what you started in my soul. I thank you for that new fervor, that new fire else in your time. Father, I pray that you would give these the same touch, the same desire, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, that you would bless us indeed, enlarge our territory, that your hand would be with us, and that you would keep us from evil, that we may not cause pain. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Rise up, O Lord. Let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee before you. And flee before us, Father, because we surely are a part of you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray this morning. Through his precious will, Father, touch each one of us. Amen and amen. The Lord go with you. Blessings be on you.